Well, they say that the country's done. They say that the stock market's gonna crash. They say that every single one of us is gonna let down while they walk across our backs. But I'ma stand up. Gonna put my fists in the air. No, I don't wanna have to bring my guns, but I'll be ready if it goes there. But you can lay down if you wanna. You can run away if you wanna. You can pretend that this is totally okay if you wanna. You can play dead if you wanna. Forget what they said if you wanna. Turn your back on the country. Of the USA. We're hardworking, honest, and we make our money the good old-fashioned way. But you can lay it down if you wanna. You can run away if you wanna. You can pretend that this is totally okay if you wanna. You can play it dead if you wanna. Forget what they say. She belongs there. So let's stand her up and brush off the dirt and dust. A lady liberty needs our help from every single one of us. But you can lay it down if you wanna. You can run away if you wanna. You can pretend that tyranny is totally okay if you wanna. You can play it dead if you wanna. Said if you wanna turn your back on the country needing you right now, but I don't wanna. No, I don't wanna. But I don't wanna. No, I don't wanna.
Welcome to the situation report for Monday, the 23rd. Sorry to cut that off. That was Madison Rising, ready if it goes there. That was for Stuart for waiting 3 months for a couple of parts for a AR that should have been gone months and months ago, but it took forever. Couple admin notes. Got a question over the weekend. Somebody asked me about the Aero Precision Professional line that they're coming out with. I have two ARs on order. Haven't seen them yet. They were supposed to ship earlier this month. They were supposed to ship the first week of September. Still haven't seen them. So, and I don't have an answer on Aero. So if you order one, I have no idea when they're going to ship. I haven't shot one. I'm going to do a review on one as soon as we get them. and I'll compare it to standard AR, standard arrow builds, so you can see the difference in the two. But yeah, I haven't seen those yet. So we're hoping to see those in the next week. I've been calling Arrow, haven't heard from them. So I'm not sure what's going on over there. They've since Washington passed their high capacity magazine ban, things that were Air Precision, because they're in Tacoma. They build all their stuff locally, and they ship across the U.S. They are, I recommend them. They're a little more expensive than Palmetto, but they have bulletproof stuff. I mean, their stuff is absolutely bulletproof. So we've used them for years, and I highly recommend them. So, and then somebody asked me about Palmetto. Yeah, Palmetto's good. They're budget brand. Sorry, I'm trying to get these glasses comfortable here. Palmetto is good. They are a budget brand. You can get pretty good pricing. I haven't seen them break, so I haven't seen any issues with them. And they're plenty reliable. There's a lot of budget brands out there that I think are valuable, just as valuable as some of the others. Everybody's got their preference. I'm an Arrow rep, so I sell mainly Arrow Precision, but I do Bravo Company, Daniel Defense, whatever you want to do. I've sold Scars. I've sold Barrett 50 cals, you name it. We've sold it all. It is what it is. But I got a question over the weekend from somebody, brand new gun owner, and it was female. And she was asking me all kinds of questions. And I'll say this to, if you're a female and you're a first time gun owner, I'm going to say this as many times as it takes for people to realize that it is very important for anybody that's buying a firearm, especially somebody that's buying a firearm that is, now they're even worse. Sorry. Anybody that's buying a firearm, it is very important for you to buy something that, number one, fits your grip and fits your sight picture and has good eye relief for you, right? No two rifles are the same. No two pistols are the same. Everybody that you talk to is going to have a preference for what they like and what they don't like, right? Everybody's going to say this brand is better than the other. Here's what I'll tell you. Buy the brand, buy the firearm that fits your hand and fits your eye relief, that is comfortable for you and that feels natural for you. That could be a Taurus. That could be a Colt. That could be a Smith & Wesson M&P2. It doesn't matter what the brand is, right? Unless you're really wrapped up in, I've got to have the greatest, latest and greatest. Okay, great. I've done coatings on firearms. I do coatings all the time. I will tell you that I'm getting away from doing it. One, it's a lot of work. Two, you have to disassemble the firearm. Three, under IR, it's like a bright light under IR when you do Cerakote or you do KG Gun Cut, which is primarily what I use is KG. And it just depends on what you want. All my shit's black. I don't, I have my 1911A is OD green. Other than that, everything else is black. So I don't spend money on a lot of money on optics. If I buy optics, I'm going to buy a Vortex or I'm going to buy something that's quality like Leupold. But again, remember what you're buying it for, right? If you buy a $1,000 rifle and you put a $5,000 optic on it, kind of defeats the purpose of what you're buying. But if you buy a $10,000 rifle and you want a $10,000 optic, that makes a lot of sense. But it just depends on what kind of shooting you're going to do. The other thing too is I've had guys come in and they want these high speed rifles. They have no idea how to use them. Like I want this, M110. Okay, that's an $8,000 to $10,000 rifle if you can find one. And then number two, then you want to put a bunch of furniture on it. What are you going to use it for? I mean, it's not like you're going to be running around the streets with a 25-pound rifle when you get all the crap on it. So my point is think about what kind of shooting you're going to do. If you're doing home defense, you don't need all the shit, right? Because first of all, you're probably not going to get it out of the safe before somebody's on top of you. Unless they're beating on your door and you have time to go get your weapon out of the safe and charge it and be ready for them to come through the door. Most people don't even get to their firearms. So be realistic about what it is that you're buying. Then the other part of it too is when you talk to you go into a gun shop. This is why I started this business. Somebody asked me why I started this business this weekend. It's very simple. I got tired of going to gun stores and dealing with the nugs behind the counter that don't understand anything about shooting. They understand less about firearms. They got a gun on their hip and they think that they know everything in the world. They don't. Most of them don't know the square root of shit. And it, you leave there with a bunch of boxes and either a long rifle or a pistol, and you got to go home and figure out how to put all that shit together, and then you got to figure out how to use it. So I'm like, you know, what a better thing to do than to start a business that hands over complete kit. So you walk in the door, hey, I want the plates, I want all the cool guy stuff. Fine, we'll sell you that stuff. But we're going to make sure it fits you before you walk out the door. And then we're going to make sure all the stuff that you want for your firearm is actually on your firearm so you can use it when you walk out of the store. Why bring somebody in the store and hand them a bunch of shit and tell them to go home? You're just asking to have things brought back in pieces, especially with some of the people I've seen on the range. Loading the bullets the wrong way, you know, trying to figure out where the clip goes and, you know, where the magazine goes and the weapon. I've seen every concatenation stupid on a range. And, you know, Troop gives me shit about it all the time, but I'll be very honest. I don't want to be Chris Kyle. And there's opportunity for that in every one of these public ranges where people just show up and shoot whatever stupid shit they have in their hand that most of them have never shot before. Like we had these two kids show up that clearly had never shot before. Both of them have these brand new Glocks with these big long magazines in their Glock pistol. Didn't have any eye pro and no ear pro. And they got out of the car and they realized, hey, these firearms are loud. We probably need some hearing protection. So they're literally going down the line asking people if they got earplugs. I mean, that's the tip of the ice. That's the tip of the spear right there. So that's why I started this business. This is like, you know, you're going to need all this stuff. Here's a list of the stuff you need. This is what you'll need just to go to the range. And it's amazing how many people are still, you know, clueless about it. The other thing I will say too is that, especially for women, it's very, very hard for you to go into a store and not get sold a bill of goods, right? Ask questions of people that are firearm owners before you go to the store and do some research. That way you'll have an idea of what type of pistol that or what type of firearm that you want to look at and what you want to zero in on. Because like I said, everybody's got a preference. Everybody's got a brand that they like. Everybody's got, you know, some form of firearm that they're queer about. So take some time, do some due diligence, ask questions before you walk in the store. That's my advice. And then if you're going to buy online, because I've got this question again over the weekend. So somebody asked me, how does it work if I want to buy something online, like, you know, Cheapest Dirt and some of these others like Brownells, where you can order AR uppers, AR lowers, AR parts. If you're going to ship something from somebody that's online, then first of all, anything that's serialized has to go to a federal firearms licensee. So it's got to either go to a gun shop or an FFL that, you know, if they work out of their home, it's got to go to somebody who can take possession of it and log it in and then do the background check on you and then log it out. And depending on which state you're in, every state may have more stringent requirements. And it's worth your while to understand what your state laws are and what the requirements are for background checks before you even step off the line of departure. That way, you'll know what you're going to get into when you get into the wherever the serialized part shows up. If it's a complete firearm, then it shows up at a federal firearms deal. They'll call you and let you know it's in. Then you go in, you fill out the 4471 or 4473. I can't think of what form it is off the top of my head. You fill out the background check form. They run your background check and they'll probably charge you a transfer fee to transfer the firearm to you from whatever source that you ordered it from. But there's always at least a federal background check. So you need to be ready for that. And if you have shit in your background that could potentially deny you firearm ownership, you should probably deal with that before you order a firearm. Because I can tell you that I've had more than a few firearms I've sent back because people didn't pass the background check, or worse, there's a hold. So when I run a background check on somebody, if the background check comes back and it says hold, it means you don't get it. You walk out the door and 3 days later, then I can give it to you if the hold's still there. But if the hold's not there and it still says hold or worse, denied, then you don't get the firearm and you're out that money. Because most, and I shouldn't say this, I there's a percentage that I know of that don't refund the money. So keep that in mind. If you've got something in your background you need to adjudicate, go adjudicate it, because that will cause you all kinds of problems. And it'd be things you hadn't even thought about. If you have a warrant out, if you have, you know, some kind of a past where you had a speeding ticket or court appearance that you missed, guess what? There's probably a warrant for you somewhere. So keep that in mind, because a lot of people get balled up with that a lot. And you would be surprised how many people get surprised by that when they come in to pick up a firearm. So anyway, so when I get those Arrow Precision professionals in, I'll do a review. I'll probably do a sit rep on them because they're brand new to the market, and compare it to the older stuff. So, okay, anyway, enough on the admin stuff. Today, there's three things I want to talk about today. One is the Elon Musk piece. I'll talk about that first, because this ties in with the Eric Weinstein stuff from the weekend. So I had a lot of interesting conversations over the weekend. And one of them was that people are very myopic in the way that they operate. They look at things and they focus and they get what's called target fixation, where all they see is X. They don't see the peripherals. They lose track of the bigger picture. So here's the bigger picture with the election. Because I was asked this over the weekend, should I just focus on the election? All these things are happening. Here's what I'm going to tell you. We have private officials in public office that are paid for by oligarchs. All of this election stuff is an illusion. And it's the illusion of free choice. Eric Weinstein says that perfectly if you listen to the interview. And I'll post it again in the comment section after the show. And the election as I see it, and you're going to have lots of people talking about, well, there's still stuff in court. There's still these cases that could decide it. No, we are too far down the road to change the voter rolls, to change same-day voting, to change the laws around counting ballots, hand-counting ballots. And we're too far down the road for them not to cheat. They are going to cheat. In my view, they are going to install Kamala Harris. Install her. Because they installed her as the candidate for the Democratic Party without one primary. I don't know how they did that legally without a challenge, which is mind-boggling to me. But it shows you the cognitive dissonance that is clearly infected the entire left. And the other part of it, too, is that the Trump derangement syndrome, which is a good description for it. Because I sat listening to people talking over the weekend. Went to this event. Went to an art show. It was really pretty cool. One of my admins had pictures. She's very talented. Like very, very talented. I had no idea. So I'm sitting there listening to people talk. And literally, this is where America is at. And I want you to drink this in, because this shows you how far down the bowl we have swirled. And it's amazing to me every time I hear it. But literally, the mood of the country is that I'm either going to vote for Trump or Trump's the worst person in the world. There's no other mindset. It's not that Harris is better. It's not that the policies are better. It's not that their political beliefs are different. It's that they're convinced that Trump is an evil person, so they're not going to vote for him. And on the other side of the fence, you have people that believe Trump is a messiah. I want you to take that in and realize how dangerous that is. Because we haven't been in this position since 1860 when Abraham Lincoln took office. That is amazing to me that we were in this place, but that is the mindset of the entire country right now. It has nothing to do with politics. It's the effect of this highly effective information operation campaign that was carried out from 2016 all the way to today that Trump is a bad person. It's amazing, because if people were given the opportunity to vet the candidate on policy, and the candidates that we actually put in office
actually did one thing that they said they were going to do and actually stood by a record that supported the American people, that they would literally, the American people would literally be fine with whoever won, as long as the election was fair, the candidates were real, the things that they were putting on the docket and voting on were actually beneficial to the country, people would be fine. But instead, the system's so corrupt and everybody in office runs a fucking crime family, the American people are fed up. But it's worse than that. They're fed up and they're divided because one guy is the worst person on the planet. Do you hear yourselves talking? This is the issue that you're all wrapped up in. One guy. We have 42 million illegal aliens that have come into this country since 2021. Over 40 million military age males, and this is what you're worried about. This. One guy. You see how ludicrous that is? It's ridiculous. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but that's not even the worst part. The worst part is that it's been done with our consent. We have all consented to let this happen. Right, left, center, doesn't matter. If you actually think that these two shrubs that are vying to be renters in the White House are the best we could do in this country, then you have been sold a bill of goods that's monumentally worse than anything that came out of any of the hearings after Kennedy was killed. The magic bullet theory is a way better story than anything with these two shrubs. I look at the people that surround Trump and they are fucking idiots. And I'll give you a case in point. So Carrie Lake's deeply involved with the Trump campaign. In fact, after her election was stolen from her, Abe Hamadeh and Blake Masters, she spent all her time at Mar-a-Lago. And people in Arizona are like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you not here beating the drum to take to the streets? You just got an election stolen from you. But yet, this is what you're doing? You're down in Mar-a-Lago hobnobbing with all of the elite around Trump? Really? That's what you're doing. You tell everybody you're going to fight for Arizona. You tell everybody you're going to fight. And then you go fuck off down to Mar-a-Lago. And we're supposed to believe you're legitimate. Really? That's how this works? Because what I would have done is I would have been in the streets every day and in court, and I would have kept my staff on until I knew for sure that we had at least a legal basis to stand on to take it to court. Instead, she hired this jack wagon for a lawyer that couldn't make a coherent sentence, let alone an argument in front of the courts. No wonder they got their asses handed to them. And then she let a Trump person fire her whole staff. Really? This is the best we could do. This. And one guy's going to save America. Come on. Wake the fuck up. My God. I listen to this stuff and I shake my head because no one has a grasp of the bigger picture. The bigger picture is they're deconstructing our country. They've deconstructed the political system to the point where they don't care if you see it. Everyone in Congress, everyone has built a crime family. Go look at what Biden did in Delaware. He has installed everyone in federal government there. The state government is completely appointed by Biden to include law enforcement. You don't think Pelosi's done that in California? Dianne Feinstein, John McCain here? Come on. If these guys have been in office 20 or 30 years, there's a reason why they've been in office this long. And the emperor has no clothes. Everybody can see it. But yet, the only narrative that anybody wants to talk about is women's reproductive rights or the fact that the orange man's bad. That should tell you right there in a nutshell just how off the hook stupid people are to believe anything that comes out of mainstream, because those narratives were carefully cultivated over 3 years. And look at all these people marching in the streets, going, women, three productive rights. You know, women are just dying right now because they're not getting abortions. Are you kidding me? Have you noticed that the people saying this are people that are way past the age of having children? Or worse, they don't have any children. They're the only people talking about this. There's a reason for that. It's called a cultivated narrative. And that's exactly what they've done with Trump. That's exactly what they've done with the election. That's exactly what they're doing with Harris. And that's exactly what they've done with every other issue that matters, including the border issue. And when you couple that together with all the gaslighting, you get exactly what Eric Weinstein was saying. Now, don't forget, though, you have two Weinstein brothers, both of them, talking about different parts of disclosure. And Eric Weinstein was funded and worked for Peter Thiel, and he knows Sam Harris. I hate Sam Harris. That guy is a card-carrying Bolshevik. And the fact that he is still walking the earth after saying that we stole 2020 because it was the right thing to do, why is he still walking the earth? He should be in prison. But instead, no, he's still out and about, still talking about why Trump shouldn't be in office. That's why this system needs to die. That's why the institutions need to die, because we can't reform any of this. The fact that the public accepts the corruption, the fact that the public wholesale still doesn't get the causality from the problems from the vaccine tells you they bought the narrative hook, line, and sinker. And worse is the fact that people don't see any of the health issues that have skyrocketed since the vaccines have come out to tell you that there's something in that vaccine that makes them either stupid or makes them completely blind to reality. I'll take stupid for 1,000. I mean, they would step over a dead body to get another shot. That's all you got to say about that. But the point is that they've waged such a highly effective information war against the American people that there's no way the country's going to accept the election. So this brings me back to what I was saying about the election in the beginning. We're going to play through, because I don't think we're going to get there. I don't think we're going to have another election after this. And I'm going to say this out loud for all of you that are in the Arizona legislature and that are on the state, the Board of Supervisors. If you cheat this time, we will pick up arms. And we are going to pick up arms if you cheat. And we know you're cheating, because there's nothing left to lose at that point. And I guarantee you, you will fucking see something new, because I will not live in a communist country. I don't give a shit how many different ways you motherfuckers try and sell it. You sold us down the river. And Karen Fan, you are going to prison before this is over. You will not see the light of day for the rest of your miserable life before this is over, before we put the flag back on the Capitol and we swear allegiance back to this country. You are going to be in prison. You mark my words on that. If it's the last thing I do on this planet, I am going to escort you to Gitmo to face trial for treason. And I'm going to watch your very public trial. And that should resonate with every one of you Arizona politicians. You have betrayed your voters. You have betrayed the Constitution, and you have betrayed this country. And you will be held to account. End of story. Full stop. This is your last chance. Unbelievable. But it should tell you something that this disclosure is happening. So let's talk about Diddy, because that's a good segue from the election stuff to Diddy. Because Diddy is much to do about nothing. Let me ask you a question. What came out of the Epstein disclosures? Nothing. Who was named in the Epstein disclosures? Just Clinton, some big names. People will never be touched. Has anything happened to them? Have they been perp walked? No.
And I've heard all day long, people have been throwing me, you know, throwing stuff at me all day long that, hey, you need this. And Diddy's going to out everybody. And you're going to see all these goes. We're going to see disclosures. We will definitely see disclosures. This current string of celebrities that are deleting their online profiles, especially on Twitter, excuse me, X, it doesn't mean anything. It's noise. Because until somebody's perp walked and somebody actually stands trial, it doesn't matter. It means that it's just more noise and more show. And look, I don't care that they deny Diddy. I don't care if they deny his bail. I don't care. Until there are other celebrities rolled up, until there are big Hollywood producers, Hollywood film studio owners, and, you know, Hollywood elite that are rolled up, this is all noise. And I've heard literally all day, I've heard that the dominoes are starting to fall. They're going to fall. Trump and the white hats. They're going to save the country. Well, let me say something to you. If I get one more 107 video where this guy talks about how court is going to save us all and that we're going to revisit the 2020 election, I'm going to puke on screen. Because it's the biggest load of horseshit I've ever seen. And then somebody sent me a David Wilcock video today. I look at it and I'm like, this is 4 hours long of this guy talking about nothing. This guy couldn't reach a point with a gun to his head. And you want me to listen to 4 hours of this guy rambling about useless shit that doesn't mean anything? Like he was talking about, you know, some UFO shit. Okay, great. It briefs well. And the part of it that's interesting to me is he's got 500,000 followers listening to that. Like, dude, get an editor, read a script, do something different. My God. But that is what we're dealing with. And in addition to that, we're dealing with the psychosis that is Trump derangement syndrome. And then you throw on top of that, that they've normalized most of this pedophilia. Do you honestly think that anybody that's above Diddy is going to be held accountable? No. The only way these people are going to be held accountable is if we hold them accountable. We have to stand up together and do that. You've heard me say that before. Not like I haven't ever said that. But here we are. And Diddy is just a symptom of a much bigger problem. And the much bigger problem is the normalization of child trafficking, human trafficking, and pedophilia. That's the bigger normalization here. Epstein proved that case. And most importantly, nobody's been rolled up. They had years to go and do something with the Epstein information. They've done nothing with it. I'll tell you exactly what happened. This is exactly what happened. The Mossad handlers that were handling Epstein lost control of that situation. And then the FBI went in and saw an opportunity to take over and leverage all of the Hollywood stars to continue the operation, to leverage everybody in DC, to leverage all the oligarchs. And that's exactly what they did. They went down to Epstein's Island, they confiscated all the materials, and then they started leveraging people and took lift, you know, they just picked up right where Epstein and Mossad left off. And the bigger question is the fact that if the CIA was involved, which you know they were, then guess what? That's an act of war and treason. Now let's look at the other part of the CIA and their other operations. Somebody said, how would Epstein get compromised? And I'm sure Ian Carroll's got a good synopsis for this. But the way I see the situation is the CIA and Mossad got distracted with other operations involved in social media where they saw the bigger picture, right? Because all these operations are not just about the bigger picture. It's about the bigger picture, the bigger, better deal. What's the bigger, better deal to leverage people, right? So they got involved in social media and they got distracted and all their resources got sucked up doing that. So they lost control of Epstein and they lost control of the islands because that was a lot of work. Number one, it was labor intensive. And most importantly, it was always a high susceptibility and a high casualty rate to maintain the secret.
because you got to kill people, you've got to make people disappear, you've got to leverage people, you've got to continue to leverage people, you got to continually keep your thumb on them. It's labor intensive. So they moved to social media because it's an easier platform to manipulate people, and you can manipulate a larger swath of the population versus just a smaller swath, and then, you know, move them into legislation that you want them to do. So, hey, makes sense, right? But who stepped in? The FBI stepped in. Because who? Just go watch any of the Chris Wray interviews in Congress. It's a joke. Go watch Mark Zuckerberg or the Google, Sanjay Pillar, or whatever that guy's name at Google. Just go watch those guys testify. It's a joke. They have everybody in the room in the bag, and they know it. Chris Wray just sits there and smiles. They basically accuse him of committing treason, and he just smiles. That should tell you everything. Just same thing with Merrick Garland. The only reason Merrick Garland's as smug as he is because he knows he's got everybody in the bag through the FBI. And he's got a tenuous, you know, situation with the FBI at best, but he knows he's got air cover. So clearly the CIA, Mossad, gave up on the Epstein thing because they realized there was a better way to go through social media. And now look at X. Today, Elon Musk, or actually it was a couple of weeks ago, but it was released either today or last week, that the investors who helped Elon buy Twitter, guess what? They're all affiliated with the CIA or China. Hello? Oracle, CIA operation. In fact, Larry Ellis ran a project called Oracle at the CIA. And then he leaves the CIA and starts a company called Oracle. Huh? And then Elon Musk, the biggest defense contractor on the planet, owns the biggest social media platform on the planet, funded by the CIA, predominantly. And then on top of that, he's never doxxed, he's never outed, he's never even identified any of the former CIA and FBI that are on his staff that were censoring. Are you starting to get the bigger picture that all of this is just a big game? It's a shell game. You're just moving stuff around to make people think that things are changing. They're not. And look, I'll be the first one to tell you that if there really are magic white hats in the background and Trump really is in charge, they really are going to restore the Constitution. And they're going to come out after 10 days of darkness, 10 days of no communications and no TV, and not have half the population go batshit crazy and lose their goddamn minds. And they somehow come back and say, Trump's in charge and you've all been lied to. And here's the story. We're going to play it on Channel 7. And on Channel 5, we're going to play the pedophilia stuff. And on Channel 4, we're going to play all the corruption stuff. I would say that's great. Now go fuck yourselves. Because it means to get to this place, you and a bunch of other rich assholes had a big meeting where you made a bunch of deals with yourselves so that you could split up the profits of war. And the rest of us have to go suck it up and rebuild. You can kiss my ass and tongue my sweaty balls, because there is no way that I am going to let yet another fucking group of rich assholes restart the country and build a bunch of dope deals in the background that aren't transparent. And that's exactly what the Q narrative is. Trust the plan. Yeah, trust a bunch of rich white assholes that were a part of the system to begin with, to reform the system and then bring us back to where we need to be and everything's fine. Go fuck yourselves. You're a bunch of fucking stupid lemmings and you deserve everything that's about to happen to you, because everything that's coming is going to be mostly bad and you motherfuckers are going to be caught with deer in the headlights and I'm going to be taking pictures on my way past you, because this is the dumbest story I've ever heard in my life. And if by some miracle that is true, I'm still going to say go fuck yourselves, because there's no end state from that plan, from that narrative, or from that action that is going to be beneficial for anybody on the ground. Only the rich people will yet again benefit from this. So why would I buy into that narrative for any reason? Because it's the same game with a different dress, fed to the American people for the same thing. Here's the bottom line with that. Even if Trump is able to come in and resuscitate the system with the right people, whoever the hell that is, you still have to deal with the $124 trillion of unfunded debt that these assholes over here that are being replaced have racked up, that the American people are on the hook for. So how do you reconcile that? And then if you do reconcile that without a world war, then how do you deal with the 42 million people they've imported into this country in the last 3 years? Mass deportation? Yeah, that's going to go well. Who's going to do the roll-up? Who's going to do the roll-up? And more importantly, who's going to go track down the 350,000 kids that are missing? You see the errors and the flaws and all this thinking? Like, there's these magic group of people. I don't know who they are. Because let's do some other numbers, some very simple math. If 60% of the population took the jab, that's over 150 million Americans. So let's say it's 180 million Americans got the jab. That means 180 million people are going to be sick or dying over the next 5 to 10 years. So they can't fight, and they're not going to be able to roll anybody up. They're going to be sick, stuck in the healthcare system, which, by the way, is starting to implode because the pharmaceutical companies have fucked over every part of the medical system, and the AMA has destroyed the Hippocratic Oath. So good luck with that. So that leaves about 120 million Americans left to roll everybody up, fight the fight, fight the Chinese, fight the Russians, fight the Iranians, and fight the North Koreans. Yeah, I don't see that going well. And by the way, we're broke at the same time. So just doing some basic hypothesis math, which, from what I understand, it's like 45% of the population took the jab. And 45% of the population is going to be terminally ill within 5 years. Some of them are already dead. Some of them died getting the shot. And other people stepped over their dead body to go get the shot. So there's no help there. Those people are all useless. And that's just half the population. Just to be conservative, it's half the population. I think it's more like 70% got the jab. And I think that probably at least good 10% of that have died or have permanent health problems. So good luck with that. The whole narrative, this whole Q narrative, this whole mindset that Trump's still in charge is literally, it's ludicrous because there's no basis to it that makes any sense. And yet it's still being peddled every day, which is why this country can't come together, because there's so many people that are wrapped up in the narratives. They can't hear a word spoken to them. And, you know, the reason why that Brett or Eric Weinstein is so effective right now, which, by the way, I think he's an information node for who is the question. Sure looks like he's Mossad because he's Jewish. You can make the leap there. But if he is affiliated with Peter Thiel has financed J.D. Vance and has groomed J.D. Vance. I don't know who's grooming Vivek, but I would probably imagine it's probably Peter Thiel. So you could start to see where things start to line up. They all have an agenda. Their agenda is not about us. Their agenda is about self-preservation and preserving the things that they want, not the things that we want. So my point is, any of these operations, if they even are real and they do bear fruit and things do, they're able to correct some things, they're not going to be able to correct the whole system. And we can't continue under this system any longer. The elections have to be sorted. The voter rolls have to be sorted. People have to go to jail. People have to be held accountable for treason. And there's a lot of people that have committed treason in the last 4 years. There's a lot of people who have committed treason in the last 40 years. All of them have to be held to account. But that's not even the biggest problem right now. The biggest problem is we have an entire generation of youth that has been indoctrinated into not doing any critical thinking. They don't understand selfless service. They definitively don't have a work ethic. And most importantly, they have no social skills. So we have to reteach three generations what it means just for selfless service, how to critically think, what the real history of this country is, what the real history of World War II is, objectively. And We have to overcome all the state narratives from all the way back to World War II to include the gaslighting that's going on right now. It's a monumental task. One dude is not going to do that, especially if he's surrounded by complete morons. How exactly is the country supposed to be in a better place when you surround yourself with a bunch of morons? I don't see the same thing everybody sees. I don't see us. And I was asked probably five times, six times over the weekend, do you think we're going to get to the election? No. If we do, and we do vote, if they don't interrupt or interdict the election, they're going to set conditions so nobody buys the outcome. And if by some miracle they're forced to accept Trump, they're never going to let him step in office. Any one of those scenarios leads to civil war. And I would propose to you, it's not going to be a civil war. It's going to be a revolution, because we are going to have to organize. We're going to have to throw off the shackles of tyranny, and we're going to have to identify and bring to account everybody that was involved in this. And that's going to take years to do. That's why I don't buy into any of this white hat nonsense, because it's just a bunch of hopium, like Nasera and Jacera and the med beds. Remember the med beds and the quantum financial system? I was shocked today. Somebody sent me something from Charlie Ward. That motherfucker is still pushing med beds. What is it? It's been like 8 years of listening to that. And it's always the same shit. Like, my favorite line of Charlie Ward's in the last 5 years was, I'm under NDA by the military not to discuss the quantum financial system or med beds. Okay. So my first question to that is, what military would sign an NDA with a nutsack like you and let you parade out into the public space and say some of the dumbest things I've ever heard if they weren't running an operation to influence you that these things were going on when they really weren't, and trying to keep you distracted from the things that really matter with things that are complete bullshit when they don't need to? Let's see. That would be Charlie. He's got over 1 million followers across the planet, and 1 million followers. And then Michael Yon was saying the other day that, you know, they call the white hats overseas white dragons. He's in Thailand. He's talking about how he was talking to a barber, and the guy's like, yeah, the white dragons are going to come save us all. Are you starting to hear the same bullshit with a different dress? It's a psyop. It's been a psyop. And when I want to Patel Patriot show, John Herron's show, when he was talking about devolution, you know, the thing he didn't want to hear was, hey, that briefs really well, but the enemy gets a vote, and the enemy's not going to vote the way you think. And oh, by the way, this Chinese defector, nobody I've talked to even knows who this guy is or where this guy's at, or if he's even real. That's what we're up against. And that's why we haven't unified. And we don't have a national level leader, because nobody's going to let a national level leader step up. It's just not going to happen. The FBI will infiltrate. Like today, there was this march of a Haitian militia. Okay, the feds put together a Haitian militia now instead of the malcontents called the Proud Boys. What was that other group of malcontents? See, I've already forgot their name because they were so unforgettably unforgettable, and I forgot them already. Because they were completely, what the hell was their name? Patriot Front. That's who it was. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, the feds and masks have changed to black feds that are paid to go march to the city. And again, in Ohio, you know, you start to see a narrative develop there. Now, Oath Keepers aren't, they're not a militia. In fact, they weren't stood up to be a militia. That's not what they were stood up to do. Their purpose was not to go march on DC like the Proud Boys. The Oath Keepers, their job was to build community and remind people of what civic duty is. That's what their initial charter was. If you go back and read through their charter, they were stood up for a very specific purpose, and it was to remind young people what being American meant. And as I understand it, it was a bunch of military guys initially that wanted to keep their oath of defending the Constitution. And you know, I've let me qualify that. I've heard several concatenations around Oath Keeper. So if there's a different, you know, if somebody's got the actual documents that can describe their initial stand up, I'd like to see them, because I've been looking for them and I haven't seen them. And that organization has been massively infiltrated as well. And that's why there's not a national level leader, because all these organizations get compromised and then they get blown up from the inside. So, and then somebody asked me this weekend, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to interdict these people? Well, if the kinetic starts, then trust me, we're going to have to make it expensive for them to operate in our areas if we want to defend our homes. Because you're not going to defend your home by yourself. It's not going to happen. 20 guys arresting your house, they're going to burn you out, blow you out. Either way, they don't care about you. If you got food and water that they need, they're going to come take it. You're going to need a community in order to defend your community, which is why we've been preaching some of Joe Dolio and Matt Everett's training for that specific purpose. And the reason why I asked Chris to come down here and do the gunfighter course was so people could learn some actual door kicking skills if they needed it, not to train people to go kick doors. But hey, this is, you know, it was really the whole intent that I had behind it was, let's bring people down here. They can meet the team, they can meet the crew, and they can see why we keep saying this stuff, how much energy it takes to go kick doors, and why we say that's not what you want to do. Because we could talk about it all we want, but to have people actually experience how hard that is and how dangerous that is, they would realize why we're preaching that. That was the whole intent of doing the gunfighter course, and to, you know, do some cool guy stuff and have some fun at the same time, and, you know, fix some of my bad habits, which, you know, we all have. So that was the intent of it. But half the population doesn't even know what's coming. The other half's going to be sick and dead anyway. And look, I got family members that have gotten the shot. That's the nature of the game. And that's the God's honest truth. Everybody knows somebody that was affected by the jab, died from the jab, or has the jab and hasn't died yet. That's the simple truth of the matter. So why are you worried about an event right now that we know is going to be rigged? If you really want to have impact on the election, then go vote. Because the more people that show up, the bigger the landslide for Trump, the harder it's going to be for them to obfuscate it. And that is, if the vote actually happens on time, if there's not an event before then, and if they somewhat try to follow the rules and not obfuscate it. But I think they're going to do all of the above, but it's still worth playing through. Because at the end of the day, if there's an onslaught for Trump and everybody sees it, not just the people on the right, even people on the left that can see the cheating firsthand, there's always going to be a percentage of the population that's never going to believe that Trump won, no matter what you say or what you do. These people have a deep-rooted psychotic hatred for the guy because they buy into everything that is pushed on MSDNC and CNN and all the other, you know, communist Bolshevik networks. So they're never going to be convinced. But there's a lot of people in the middle. In fact, I'll give you a perfect example. I was sitting at the table with two very, very staunch liberals on Saturday, and they wanted to know what kind of firearms to buy and what they should have on hand because they know something's coming. These are liberals that are starting to see this. So imagine if we all show up to vote, and I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. I think the same thing. But if we get to election day and we're able to go vote, I am going to go cast a vote. Mainly because I don't want them to give the opportunity to cast my vote and use my vote somewhere else. I want to show up, make them spoil the mail-in ballots that they sent me, ballots, because it'll be multiple, and then I want to cast my vote. Not because I believe it's going to change anything, but I want to make the last measure of civilized obedience before I completely break the law. And that's how I'm approaching this. Does it mean I'm going to go out right after that and break the law? No. It means that I am going to see what they do next, and then I'm going to make a decision. And at the end of the day, all of you have to make that decision too. But I can tell you that I will not submit to a communist government and install dictator or jackbooted thugs from the federal government. I will not submit. I will be completely ungovernable. And I mean completely. And it should tell you something that the pendulum's swinging the other way, because we haven't had any lockdowns. We haven't had any other pandemics, and they've been trying to push them. But the public's over it, and they know it. So we're running out of moves left for them to make before the election. And when that day happens, if that day happens, everybody's going to know what they need to do. And I would hope that when that day happens, you have people standing around you. I can tell you, if I'm the only one that stands up, so be it. But I will not submit under any circumstances. I will not submit. Vote on election day. Don't fuck around with mail-in ballots. That's a red herring. Washington State has checkboxes on the outside of the ballot. Democrat or trash? Yeah, mail-in ballots. What a joke. Telling you folks, time is running short. And you should think long and hard about what your next steps are going to be. And you should start thinking now that if you don't have food, water, and ammo, you better get some. And I mean soon, because you are running out of time. And most importantly, you should know how to use your stuff. If you haven't heard us say that, I'm going to keep saying it every show. This will be Groundhog Day, because you're going to hear me say, use your gear. And it, trust me, if you go out to Telegram and you go back a couple of weeks and you see us doing the range day where we were actually, you know, doing some cool guy exercises. I mean, totally unrealistic. I got to give you that. But we were doing cool guy stuff. I could tell you that you figure out a lot of stuff when you start using your gear. And I had just thrown stuff on my belt, just to throw stuff on my belt. I can tell you, I've already reconfigured it at least twice. And I'll probably do it one more time. But you got to use your stuff to figure that out. And you need to pay attention to your environment. You have got to pay attention to what's around you. People are blissfully unaware of their surroundings. You cannot take anything for granted, especially a month before the election. And I want to paint a picture for you. Get away from all the rhetoric and all the false flags and all the noise around the assassination attempts. I think those are just noise for the public to generate fear. I think the Pennsylvania attempt, that was a real attempt on Trump's life. I think the other two were just noise. The stuff that you need to really be concerned with is in your local community. I will remind everybody that there are still 42 million military-age males in this country. You do not marshal that kind of force structure unless you're willing and going to do something kinetic. And I don't know how that's going to show up, but you have got to start paying attention to your surroundings. Assume nothing. Listen to languages around you. Listen to what people are saying. Pay attention to who walks in the door in a restaurant. Pay attention to who's around you when you're especially in a public place. Put down the social media. In fact, my challenge to you is to get off as many social media platforms as you possibly can. And that will save you a whole bunch of grief. Why? Because people will be forced to pick up the phone and contact you or text you and contact you. Versus waiting for you to post some stupid post on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, fuck, take your pick. The point is, disconnect to connect. Disconnect from social media to make human connections, especially right now, because those human connections will hit pay dirt, especially when things kick off. Look, there's a lot of people out there that are scared. They don't know what to do, and they're starting to ask questions. That tells me the pendulum's swinging the other way, away from the narrative. And it also tells me that the farther that gets away from them being able to control the narrative, the more likely there is for a bigger event to happen. And look, if nothing happens, it's all for nothing, then great. I would rather be wrong and not see a major event than have a million people not ready and completely on their ass with a bunch of military age males running around shooting things up. So I'm erring on the side of getting people prepared for potentialities versus and probabilities versus, you know, everything's going to be fine. Good guys are winning. Trump's coming back. All of us know that's bullshit. And if you don't, you should get your head examined, because we have to save ourselves. We have to come together as a country. We have to take back the initiative. And the way we do that is to come together as communities. That's how we do this. So I've changed the format of the roundtable. I'm not going to do a roundtable on Wednesday anymore. I'm going to do a one-on-one this week. I am going to try and get either Joe Dolio or Matt Everett to sit down and talk through one of two things. I want to talk through the community defense course that Joe does, or I want to talk through some of the intellectual property theft that's happened to Matt with his books, because he's had a lot of people just blatantly copy his books and publish them under a different name. I want to talk through that so you get a real flavor for just how far down the bowl we swirled. If I can't do that this week, I'll just do a sit rep. Thursday night, we'll do the roundtable. The audio roundtable is normal. And then next week on Wednesday, I'm going to do an interview with Joel Skolson. He's agreed to come back on October 2nd or Wednesday, I think it's the 2nd, and do an interview and talk through strategic relocation. If you haven't read Joel's book, I suggest you do. I reached out to Lawrence Gonzalez over the weekend and got a response from a very nice response from Lawrence Gonzalez, by the way. He's wrapped up finishing a book right now, so he's probably a couple of months out. And if the world doesn't blow up, I'll get Lawrence Gonzalez on the show and do an interview, and we'll talk deep survival and talk through his methodology, and you'll get it right from the source. I did tell him that there was lots of people that want to ask him questions that have gained a lot of good things from his books, and he's helped a lot of people. So hopefully we'll get him on the show. On Friday of this week, I'm going to be doing an interview on Mike Ferris's show, Coffee and a Mic, with Alex Craner. So I'm excited to see and talk to Alex, because I haven't talked to him in several months. We've traded messages back and forth on Signal, but I haven't had a chance to really pin him down and catch up with him. So I'm looking forward to that. And then on Monday, I'm going to try and do a one-on-one with Matt Bracken, bring Matt back on and get his thoughts on the current situation. And then Wednesday of next week is Joel, and then Thursday is the roundtable. And then somewhere in between there and the end of next week, I have an interview with Tommy Kerrigan on Tommy's podcast to talk through the nuclear business and talk through, you know, the missile launch business and how that all works and how it all fits together. This Thursday night, we're going to be talking about the Wendy Rogers, Steve Slayton deal with Jack Donna and Seth Geshel. So Seth Geshel and Jack Donna will be on the audio roundtable. So I look forward to that. Lots coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to try and get Jim Kunstler and a few other guys to do some shows. I'm just now starting to schedule it, so it's a few weeks out. And if there is a major contingency, and if we have comms, we will do an emergency roundtable at any time. So I know all the guys will jump on. If I throw the call out and they have comms, they'll jump on. So stay tuned to stay tuned. If you want T-shirts, the T-shirt link is in the comments, it's in the description of the show, sorry. So you can hit T-shirts out there on Spreadshop. You can also hit it off of republicarmament.com under, I think it's gear. I'll have to go look at it again. It's been a while since it's been out there. Anyway, you can get it from there and hit Spreadshop there. There is some issues with that site. It's easier to get it off of Spreadshop. And then over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be adding some things to the storefront on Republic Armament, so you can get other, because people have asked me for embroidered shirts, people want a patch. So we are working on a patch. And by the way, thanks, Christy, for helping out with that. I'll get you the right lightning bolts and everything for the talons, and we'll get that like first patch done. We're going to have a couple of different morale patches, by the way. So there will be a troop, cheeseburgers, fat girls, and beer. There'll be one that's probably more inappropriate than that. So I showed a couple of examples last Thursday of some of the stuff that was, you know, going back and forth in banter. We'll have a couple of good patches. It'll be on the storefront. You can get to it. But I'll be back on, I'll be back tomorrow night with the roundtable. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.